The Tower of London is arguably the most historic building in London. It's filled with imposing architecture, lots of armor, crown jewels, and 1,000 years of stories and legends. To learn a bit about it, we're joined now on Travel with Rick Steves by one of the ceremonial guards who actually lives in the Tower of London. While they're often called the Beefeaters, Christopher Skype has a title of Yeoman Warder. That's the formal name. Christopher's special duty is taking care of the legendary ravens of the tower, and he's written a book called The Raven Master. That tells his story. Christopher, thanks for being with us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're the Raven Master. Most of us know about the Tower of London, but the ravens are kind of a mystery. What's the big deal about the ravens at the Tower of London, and what does the Raven Master do?
They're surrounded by myth and legend. One such legend tells us that should the ravens leave the Tower of London, it will crumble to dust and a great harm will befall our kingdom. So we keep 6 there by royal decree.
And your job is to make sure they're healthy and the whole thing doesn't fall apart because for some reason the ravens are gone.
Yep, I'm the Raven Master. As far as I'm aware, I'm the only official Raven Master in the world. My job is welfare and security of the ravens, keeping them there and making sure that they're all good and healthy.
Okay, and I imagine you do other things. You're a yeoman warder. What is a yeoman warder? What's the general job description?
I'm part of a team called the Body of Yeoman Warders. We're the oldest form body of men and women in the world, dating our history back to King Henry VII. And so we're stationed at the Tower of London, and we're the guardians of the Tower of London, if you like. So we are in charge of the security of the Tower of London, but we're also historical interpreters. So we tell the stories about nearly 1,000 years of history at the Tower.
Because I feel like you're invaded every day by thousands of tourists, and your job is to educate and entertain and keep order among those kind of masses. But do you actually have a serious function of like security for the Tower?
Yeah, absolutely. We're all ex-military, so we take from the Army, RAF, Royal Marines and Navy. We have to have done a minimum of 22 years and be the rank of a warrant officer. So we are quite serious. Although we dress in our uniform, when you come to the Tower of London, you can see, we actually do have a security role. Of course, we keep the crown jewels and regalia at the Tower of London. So we want to make sure that stays there and is safe.
A lot of people just call you Beefeaters. Do you like that, or is it better to be more formal?
Well, we're actually Yeoman Warders. That's our official title, but Beefeaters is a nickname or a slang term that was given to us many years ago. We don't really know where the term Beefeater come from. Probably as guards to the royal families, at some stage or other we was paid in meat or beef. It was a rich commodity back then, and people would say, look, those guards, they've got all the best cuts of meat, those greedy old Beefeaters. And endearingly, it stuck with us over the years.
Whoa.
But it could... There are many different reasons for it.
I like that reason. As a tour guide, we get to choose our favorite reasons sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've been going to the Tower of London all my life, and it's a place that it's just got so much history. It's amazing. You know, it goes back to the Norman conquest, doesn't it? Tell us the roots of the Tower of London and what it means to the English people.
Well, the Tower of London is a concentric series of 20 towers, and of course the main tower in the middle, the White Tower, was built on the orders of William the Conqueror, and building work started around about 1078 after he invaded England, and he built it to overawe and impress the citizens of London. And of course, when you see it to this day, nearly 1,000 years later, that's exactly what it still does to this day. I kind of like to look at it as the beating heart of Britain, where all the history has gone all around the world from this particular building, and it's a magnificent place.
It's had many functions, right? It's been a royal residence and a prison and an execution site.
Yeah, it's had many roles over the years. It's been a royal menagerie for 650 years. We had lions and tigers and all exotic animals. It was a public records office. It was a royal armory where we had arms and armor that was made and stored. But it's probably best known as one of the most infamous prison complexes in the world. There's an old saying, isn't there? Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies even closer. And of course, the tower was actually originally designed to be a fortress and a palace. And so it was good to be able to keep people that knew you near to you, and so it became a prison.
And there were certain people over time who you couldn't murder, but you could just kind of lock up. And it seems like when they built those towers and those ramparts, they just conveniently had all these little rooms where you could just lock somebody away and throw away the key, and they're out of your troubles. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had two types of prisoner at the Tower of London. We had open and closed prisons. So an open prison would be a high-ranking dignitary that was paid actually for the privilege of being kept at the Tower of London. And it was the job of the yeoman warder and the guards at the time to look after that said prisoner. And then we had the other side where we had the closed prisoner. And so for political or religious reasons, they would be locked away in a very small cell somewhere in the confines of the Tower of London and treated really badly. So we had two different distinct types of prisoner at the Tower of London. Of course, it was never designed to be a prison. And of course, people did escape over the years.
And that gives you all sorts of fascinating stories to tell on the tours you give when the tourists come to the Tower of London. Our guest on Travel with Rick Steves is Christopher Scaife. He serves as a yeoman warder or a beefeater at the historic Tower of London. Christopher writes about his duties caring for Britain's most famous birds in his book, The Raven Master, My Life with the Ravens at the Tower of London. You can read more about Christopher's work on Facebook or Twitter. He's at RavenMaster1. So, Christopher, when we think of the Tower of London, we often think of bloody history. It's just like Hollywood gore. I know you have to ramp that up a little bit to be entertaining when you take your guests around the Tower, but what is the story about the bloody history of the Tower of London?
Yes, of course. The Tower of London is associated with imprisonment, torture, and execution. And these stories that have come about over the years probably stem from sometime around the Victorian period, where yeoman warders, who were ex-military men at the time, taken on by the Duke of Wellington, had to supplement their pension. And so they would bring visitors into the Tower of London in greater numbers, and they would tell the distinct stories about those who were imprisoned there. Of course, many of the stories are actually true. It's just that the yeoman warder tour, the famous tour that you go on, we do have an ability to enhance it slightly. Political license, I think it's called.
Well, you make that pretty clear in your book. Through your book, The Raven Master, you say, you know, if you want history, read a history book. If you want storytelling, take our tour. It's a big part of going to London is going to the Tower of London. And, you know, there's the Jack the Ripper night walk, and there's all sorts of dungeon museums in London and so on. And when you go to the Tower of London, I think we get a romanticized look at, maybe romanticized is not quite the right word, but in your book, in The Raven Master, you made it clear it's not as bloody as the Hollywood coverage. You said for 900 years, there were about 8,000 prisoners, 120 were executed, and only 6 were executed inside the gates. And you said, furthermore, torture was quite rare.
Yeah, absolutely. I think officially sanctioned by the king or queen at the time, only 78 people were officially sanctioned to be tortured at the Tower of London. I'm sure that there were more over the years, but officially only 78. So really and truly, the Tower of London doesn't have that greater outlook of people who were tortured at the Tower of London. It's been synonymous with the stories that have been told over the years.
And I think Americans need to remember that in our society, the ultimate penalty is capital punishment. You are killed in the most humane way they can figure out. But in the old days, there were punishments worse than death. You could be killed slowly. You could be killed quickly. You could be tortured first and then killed. And then you could be tortured first and killed slowly. And then the remains of your body could be humiliated, all according to how bad your crime was.
Absolutely. The quickest way and the best way really to be executed that period of time was by the block and axe. It was deemed to be very quick. But of course, we had people that were hung, drawn and quartered, burnt at the stake, parts of their body parts dismembered. So there was all sorts of different ways to actually kill someone, if you like. Mm-hmm. But at the Tower, torture was only ever really used to extract information rather than cause them pain. Mm. Although I think the two actually go together.
I think so too. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Christopher Scaife, and he writes The Raven Master, My Life with the Ravens at the Tower of London. And Christopher, in his function as yeoman warder, or commonly called the beefeater, he's one of a team of guards, and you give tours. And, you know, it's expensive to go to the Tower of London. I think a typical tourist pays about $40, the equivalent in British pounds, to go to the Tower of London. You're right there. You see the brawl every day as thousands of people crowd to get in and frustrations, and also you see the people who really know how to do it well. What tricks would you give visitors to visit the Tower of London? Because it's one of the must-see sites in London, I've got to say. How do you avoid the crowds? How do you get a good price on the ticket? And what should your priorities be once you're there?
Yeah, it is fairly expensive to come and see the Tower. The wonderful thing about the Tower of London is the fact that you can purchase your ticket online. There are plenty of discounts to get tickets online, so pre-book beforehand. to beat the queues, come early or late on in the afternoon. Obviously, the summer months are quite busy at the Tower of London. So that's, you know, if you're going to come during the summer months, then be prepared to queue for a little while to go and see the Crown Jewels. But I would say book online, book your tickets online, and come early in the morning and get to the Tower as soon as you can. Make your way straight to the Crown Jewels, go and see them first, and then enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah,
you can actually go to the Tower of London and spend all day long there finding about our fascinating stories.
Oh, you really can. And people don't realize it's a collection of museums. And I think that tip to go to the Jewels first is really important, because you have the yeoman warders, you and your partners, that are dressed in all of your regalia, and you're meeting people just inside the gate. And every half hour or so, there's a tour going. And that's worth, I mean, if you're wondering $40, well, your tour alone is worth half of that. It's just so entertaining and fun. You've got an amazing collection of armor and armory and so on, like the best I've seen in Britain. You've got some of the best Norman architecture in England. Remember, Romanesque is called Norman. It's the architecture before Gothic. And the Norman Chapel there is one of the most exquisite examples of Norman architecture you can find in Britain. And you've got the Crown Jewels. And what you want to do is make a beeline for the Crown Jewels. And then, in my experience, Christopher, you've got the moving sidewalk for a close-up look as you go right by all the Crown Jewels. But then you can circle back and stand above and not be rushed. And, you know, the people on the moving sidewalk get the close-up look. But you can actually hang out with one of the guards and talk about the jewels and look at them at your leisure after you do the sliding sidewalk. Is that still true?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And if you come quite early in the morning, you can go around a couple of times around there to see it. There's obviously people that are working inside the jewel house who are the subject matter experts inside there. So you can speak to them and find out about all the crown jewels and royal regalia. They are displayed absolutely magnificently. They're a must see. Even if you have to queue during the summer months to go in, just spend a little bit of time in that queue, get in there and see the crown jewels. Do not leave the Tower of London without seeing them.
So I would say the three things you got to do. You got to take the Yeoman Warders tour. You got to hang out with you for, how long is the tour? Like 45 minutes or something?
Yes, it's about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Again, that's a must do.
Do that. You don't need to do that first, though. I think you can go to the Crown Jewels first before the long crowds hit. It's like a Disney thing. You know, there's a line outside, but then you get inside and there's still a long line. So there's a lot of people crowding in to see the jewels. So go there first. Take the Yeoman Warders tour. And then in the big white tower is the armory. And it's just a first-class museum about medieval warfare and so on. What is your tip for enjoying that to the most?
It actually takes quite a long time to go round the White Tower, so leave yourself plenty of time to see the Tower of London. Normally, the average amount of time that you need there, a minimum amount of time, is about 3 hours, so just bear that in mind. And of course, on busy days, it can be a little bit more than that. But to go and see the White Tower, it's absolutely chocked with arms and armour. There's the line of kings there. There's King Henry VIII's armour. On the top floor, there's a block and axe that was the last block actually used. So it's got loads of stuff to actually go and see. But go in there. There's staff around there. Ask them questions about the history. There's also an audio guide in many different languages you can get, which gives a really good illustration as you're walking around the tower of what you can actually see and the stories behind the actual artifacts.
And do remember, there are so many dimensions to the Tower of London. It's not like going to a single one-hit site. It's a complex of sites. And there's places to eat there. And there's activities in the courtyard where, especially if you have kids, they get to see reenactments and so on from the Middle Ages. It's just a really nicely presented bit of British culture. You know, as a tourist, you go to the Tower of London and it's just, you know, you open in the morning and then everybody crushes in there and it's just a historical theme park and it's just a lot of fun. And then at the end of the day, you lock it up and what, 120 people actually call the tower home. You've got a church service there. You've got your family there. What's it like? You have a wife and a child that lives in the tower with you?
Yeah, of course. We have our own doctor on site, our own chaplain. There's the yeoman warders and their families that live and work inside the walls of the Tower of London. And of course, when the public leave in the evening time, the tower then becomes ours. And our small children, if we have any small children, which we do, you know, the tower becomes their playground. And you see them running around and playing on their scooters and on their bikes. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere. We have a great community there. We even have our own pub on site, which is very exclusive. You can only get an invite if you actually know a yeoman warder. But it has loads and loads of memorabilia in there.
Whoa, that is cool. I'm going to put that on my list. I want to go to the pub after hours in the Tower of London.
You're officially invited.
One thing we can do where you can feel kind of special is go to the changing of, what is it called, the changing of the keys?
The ceremony of the keys.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
The ceremony of the keys is a tradition that's been going on for century upon century. And actually what it is, it's the closing down of the Tower of London each night. And it takes place at 10 p.m. And it's a system where the soldiers come out, they guard the chief young warder as he goes around the tower, closing all the gates. And many, many years ago, we would be ushering lots of people that had no reason to be in the tower, outside of the tower, just pushing them all out. And so that he's afforded with a guard to help him close the gate. And at 10 p.m, the Tower of London clock chimes, the chief young warder stands still, he raises his Tudor bonnet and says, "God preserve Queen Elizabeth." Everybody answers, "Amen." And so it's really our way of saying goodnight to the world. We lock ourselves in.
And from my experience, it's pretty straightforward for a tourist to go online and make a reservation and actually be there for that ceremony.
Yes, of course. You can go online. You can go onto the Historic Royal Palace's website, book online. If you're planning your journey here, plan in advance because there is a waiting list to go on it. Mm-hmm. So do plan in advance. But it is free of charge. It's free. Do not have to pay for the fun of coming to watch the Ceremony of the Keys.
That's a magic experience if you have the opportunity. We've been talking with Christopher Scaife. His book is The Raven Master. And Christopher, if we could just wrap up our conversation. It's been so nice talking with you. As tourists, we go to the Tower of London to see all the, you know, this kind of marquee history and so on. What does the Tower of London mean to a British person? Where is it in their view?
It's just a piece of our history that we love and share. The actual tower itself is controlled and run by a charitable organisation called Historic Royal Palaces, and they do a fantastic job. So every bit of money that is gained from people coming into the Tower of London goes back into recreating the history and the stories behind the tower and other palaces as well. So you're actually helping to preserve the fascinating fortress that we actually have when you come and visit the Tower of London.
That's an important part of the fabric of British history. And to miss it when you're in London would really be a shame. Christopher Scaife, thanks for writing your book and thanks for sharing an insider's look at the Tower of London.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Since the time we recorded our interview with Christopher, two of the ravens he watches over at the tower have died or gone missing, though he still does have the requisite six ravens. However, at the nightly changing of the keys ceremony, they now say, "God preserve King Charles." Write us a haiku poem about your travels at ricksteves.com/radio. The most evocative ones may get read on the air one day. Here are a few European summer travel memories from our listeners.
Oliver Hay in Milwaukee, Wisconsin remembers the time he took in the sights in Siena, Italy. Stracciatella drips, white on burnt Siena bricks, in the Campo heat. Jay Mayhew in Franklinville, New Jersey wrote this after a tour of Greece. The shimmering sea, the clamoring of Athens. We are delighted. Regina Ann Cooper in Heartland, Vermont cools us down with this poem while anticipating her next trip. Iceland beckons us. Endless days, aurora nights, glaciers await tender feet. And Sally Slaughterback in Lavelle, Pennsylvania paints us a classic scene from Paris. Luxembourg Garden, red sails on fountain sea. Come, ride ponies with me,